kiss your lips a thousand times, and more times than I can count. I have called you mine, you have stood by me.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. If you would like to watch today's program, you can go to Ustream channel and simply search for Gary Null. We always begin our program with the latest on health and healing. We have an audience that's worldwide. Everyone listening, I'm assuming, would like to live a longer, healthier, and happier life. And there are different keys to this puzzle of life, and we try to present different ones each day. For example, today, I'm going to talk about, is your home harming you? New research from the University of Surrey in the United Kingdom shows, yes, deadly effects of indoor pollution. So what's the solution? And what are those problems? Also, taurine keeps your immune system strong and protects your heart and kidneys and liver. Natural remedies for headache will be discussed also today, so get out a pencil and paper because we're going to go over those. And spinach protects your eyes from macular degeneration. And what's the best way of getting your spinach? I'll talk about that. And also, I haven't had a chance to get with it on recent shows, but today I'll address, what if home birth is actually safer than hospital birth? That's a multi-billion dollar a year industry, and the vast majority of American women who are going to deliver, deliver in a hospital. Why? Well, that's propaganda. And I'll explain what happens from women who are inside the system, not just nurses, but I'm talking about board-certified physicians, professors in medicine, who chose to have their children at home and safer. I'll give you the statistics on that. Then I'm going to spend a lot of today's time on censorship in the mainstream and alternative medias. I'll give you examples of stories that the mainstream media would not have a problem covering, but also what they won't touch. In fact, even some, not all, but some programs in the alternative media won't touch either. Or when they do touch it, it's as if the mainstream orthodoxy were writing the story. So where you can find, for example, The Nation magazine doing some outstanding stories from really important topics, they won't touch or give a single word that's positive about those who choose not to vaccinate. They actually denigrate them, as is true with Mother Jones, as is true on many radio stations. But what are the stories that we're not hearing, and why are they important? I'll play you clips from Abby Martin today. I'll give you the insight on the Puerto Rican economy scandal, how Puerto Ricans got screwed by the big banks, the same thing that has happened to Americans, but even worse down there, and why the mainstream media won't touch that story. Also, how the mainstream media will not have on former major pharmaceutical representatives talking about what the real motive, the real agenda for all those thousands of very attractive, articulate, well-educated young men and women who go into the doctor's offices and hospitals and sell them on a drug. We'll hear one of those. I can assure you won't be seeing this on mainstream media. So I'm going to go through all of these a little later, and you'll have a chance in our talkback segment to share your points of view. So we have a lot to share today, as we do every day. And tomorrow's show, whoa. For decades, I searched out one person who I knew was intimately involved in the legal aspects. He's a top professor of law on major stories of the invisible government, meaning those people who really hold power behind the scenes. I was never able to get him on. And then recently, I was able to have a conversation, and he said, yeah, I'll do it. So we had him on for the first time last Friday for the entire hour. And he gave us a detailed history of individuals, their names, their dates, and what they did to take over America. And tomorrow, he's going to do part two. Tomorrow, who actually needed the Vietnam War? Who was responsible for it? You think Kennedy? Not true. You think McNamara? Not true. You'll find out who really caused the Vietnam War, caused to sustain the Vietnam War, and was behind the Iraq War. You think it's Bush, Rumsfeld, Cheney? Not true. Who are the people who were controlling everything behind the scenes? So this is a program you won't want to miss the entire hour tomorrow. And for any reason you don't have an internet and can't hear it at noon, you can call a phone number, which we got 70,000 minutes last week of people listening over the telephone from anywhere in North America and Canada, which is part of North America. Call 712-775-6850, 712-775-6850. That's tomorrow at noon. It will be a historic show. Now, I remember having on Dr. Brewer and his wife, Gail Brewer, in 1976 to talk about why midwives were being persecuted and why people were being told don't have home births. It's dangerous. You have unqualified people. If there's an emergency, what are you going to do? And how you really run a risk, you and your child. So they were one of the few voices that were having a forum, because most of mainstream media, and this was mainstream media I was on, WMCA, wouldn't give them a forum. And later on ABC Network, where I had a show for about 12 years, I gave them a forum also. But then it kind of subsided. And yes, people were doing home births, but it wasn't a major movement. Today, I believe it should become a major movement again. I'm going to share a few thoughts from Dr. Jennifer Margulies. Here's what she says in her own article. It's called What If Home Births Are Actually Safer Than Hospital Births? During a February thunderstorm, with her toddler sleeping peacefully down the hall, Jennifer Lang gave birth to her second child, Nico, was born just 90 minutes after first contraction in a bathtub in Lang's home in Benedict Canyon. Quote, "It's a very convenient place to have a baby," she said. And it just took less than about an hour, all told, adding that the labor went so quickly that her midwives arrived only about a half hour before birth. And Nico was born 6 years ago. And the most recent year for which we have statistics, 59,000 Americans chose to have their babies outside the hospital. Of those, 38,094 births occurred at home, the highest number since 1989, though still only a fraction of the nearly 4 million births that occur in America each year. Out-of-hospital births are on the rise. That's why I say I believe we should really motivate people to seek information, to seek qualified midwives, and consider having home births. And when Americans think of women who choose home births, they usually conjure up images of barefoot hippies with flowers and in their hair. And yet, here is Jennifer Lang, we just mentioned. She's a medical doctor. She's a board-certified obstetrician gynecologist. She's a graduate of Albert Einstein College of Medicine. Whose typical attire is L.A. chic, designer jeans, low heel ankle booties, a strapping tank, and a structure jacket. Lang spent 4 years attending births at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital Center, which is affiliated with Columbia University, did 3 years of additional surgical training at UCLA as a gynecological cancer fellow, and then worked in private practice in Beverly Hills. Dr. Lang estimates she has attended over 1,000 hospital births. Though her oldest was born at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles 7 years ago, Lang had Nico and his younger sister, Sophia, born at home. Why? Lang says that home is where she felt safest, most comfortable, and most relaxed. Quote, "I had an expert midwife who kept meticulous records of her outcomes. I've never seen an obstetrician at the first prenatal visit hand over their complete list of how many thousands of births they have done, what their overall C-section rate was, how many complications they had, what the complications were. My midwife did that for me, and I felt incredibly safe in her hands. Her statistics were far better than any of the obstetricians gynecologists I'd ever met, even my own statistics. Then you have Dr. Heidi Reinhardt, medical doctor, board certified, an obstetrician, gynecologist, who chose out of hospital birth. And she's up in Keene, New Hampshire. She's attended 2,000 births, and her husband's also an obstetrician, and they decided to have their child at the farm, an intentional community located 95 miles southeast of Nashville, Tennessee. And she explains that they were living in Tennessee at the time and wanted to have an unmedicated childbirth, and she was impressed by the statistics the farm midwives had previously published. Quote, "I evaluated the safety of that choice based on real data, and I could see from my homework in the hospital that it was very hard to have a physiological birth without interventions that interfere with the unfolding of the process. I wanted to have a natural birth, and I knew the constraints of the hospital, both physical and psychological, and it made it harder." Now, quote, "We have a 1.7% cesarean rate," said midwife Deborah Flowers, 61, who's been delivering babies on the farm for 30 years and was one of the midwives who cared for Dr. Reinhardt during her labor. Flowers herself birthed both of her children at the farm. All four of her grandchildren were born there, too. And quote, "95% of the time when a woman starts her labor here, she delivers here on the farm. Of the 5% who transferred to the hospital for one reason or another, less than 2% have cesareans." Now, why is that important? Here's the takeaway message. In across the United States, even in the so-called best hospitals in New York, Los Angeles, Boston, the average cesarean rate is 32.2%. And maternal death is 16 per 100,000, which means that more than 600 women die from childbirth causes in America each year, and an infant mortality is 6 deaths per 1,000, a rate so high compared to other developed countries, and the Washington Post has called it, quote, "a national embarrassment." We also have the highest maternal mortality rate of any country in the industrialized world. More women die than any other country in the industrialized world. And so when you start looking at the complications, the episiotomy and all the other things that go on, the drugging, so my vote is for proper home birth with a qualified nurse. And there's 2 board-certified OGBYNs, women who did it at home for the right reasons. Let's hope that more people become aware of that. Next up, this is from University of Surrey. "Is your home harming you? New research highlights deadly effects of indoor pollution." Quote, "New research in the journal Science of the Total Environment has highlighted the dangerous effects of indoor pollution on human health and has called for policies to ensure closer monitoring of air quality. A collaborative effort by European, Australian, and UK researchers led by University of Surrey assessed harmful effects of indoor pollution in order to make recommendations." And we think the term air pollution, we think of car exhaust, factory fumes, expelling gray smoke. However, there are actually various sources of pollution that have a negative effect on air quality, many of which are found inside your homes and offices. And so, how many people have been impacted negatively by indoor air pollution? We only know a conservative figure of how many have died in a given year. Last year, it was 4.3 million deaths globally. And that's compared to 3.7 million outdoor dying. And urban dwellers typically spend 90% of their time indoors, and that makes you susceptible to sick building syndrome. And you can have a whole range of symptoms. Now, why is this happening? What can we do? Well, here's my suggestions. First and foremost, I suggest that you look at where you're going to have your biggest problems. Biggest problems, shaggy carpet or carpet at all. I would suggest you remove all carpet. It is better to have just a concrete floor that you can put a sealant on A lot of offices have that, and it's easy to clean, and you minimize having bacteria and viruses, parasites, and mites in it. That's one. Two, particle board. When you buy, more often than not, cheap furniture at different box stores, what you're getting are pieces of wood that have been pressed together, thousands upon thousands of pieces of wood. They glue together, and the resins that glue are toxic, and they can outgas for a year or two. Now, those are in your cabinets in your kitchen, your dining tables, bed frames, and generally the stands, television stands, chairs. Then you have formaldehyde, and that will be in a lot of the different fabrics. For example, formaldehyde they use as a preservative to kill many of the insects that would otherwise infest and destroy some clothing, because a lot of clothing they spray with formaldehyde. They don't tell you, but they do. I would also look at underneath the sink. I would look in the bathroom. I would take everything out and only put things that are non-toxic and nothing that outgasses. And you can put baking soda in the refrigerator. You can put baking soda in any cabinet, under a cabinet. Get rid of all of your paint thinners in homes, if you have a home. And people have a garage attached to the house, and that's dangerous. Unless you have a vent that takes 24/7, it's a small fan that vents out toxins, including carbon monoxide, at undetectable levels, but it's present, that you're breathing in that can kill cells, outside. Then put a monitor, an air pollution monitor, in your house or apartment. It goes off, you know you have a problem. Then I would seal, if you cannot get rid of it, because not everybody can get rid of, you know, unhealthy cabinets and furniture, so seal it. Get yourself a natural resin that you can paint on the furniture, let it dry, so that the gases are trapped in and won't leak out. Same is true for a floor. A lot of the floor that's called wood flooring is not. It's a veneer coat, meaning it's not really mahogany or oak. It's simply a cheap pine that they put a veneer on, and that veneer is a synthetic veneer, and it's held on by glue, and that can outgas as well. Glass, stainless steel, iron, these are the things that we should use for cooking, utensils, and our silverware. Always use natural. Don't use aluminum. There's natural air fresheners. They're generally made out of lime, lemon, or grapefruit. And you just walk around the room and you spray the room. That will kill viruses and bacteria in the room. And then try to get organic sheets and organic bedding. And ideally, get a mattress cover to keep anything from staining your mattress. And also it helps prevent mites and bed bugs. And then as you use a mattress, your ideal mattress should be out of some form of bamboo fibers that are all natural, that allow the body to sweat, that don't overheat you in the middle of the night, are comfortable, and then use organic cotton sheets. And same with, and most people don't realize you really shouldn't use a pillow. But if you have to, again, get a natural fiber pillow. Because, again, you're laying your face right up beside something that could be outgassing, the polyurethanes. Now, so that at least helps you detoxify. Then put some houseplants. The more houseplants you put in your house, the cleaner the air will be, especially the ivies. And a rubber plant, those are all good. They take in and trap the pollutants and give you oxygen in its place. If you can afford an air purifier, get a one that filters down as small a particle size as possible. HEPA filters are very good, and at least the larger particulate matter you're filtering out. If you live in New York City, you have no idea how polluted the air is until you simply leave a window just slightly open, maybe 2 inches, let some fresh air in. With the fresh air comes an awful lot of pollutants and particulate matter. And then all you have to do is go in the morning, wipe your finger across anything, or just take a clean white Kleenex, wipe it across, and you'll see the dirty particulate matter come up. So that's how we can keep ourselves healthier and keep our house from being toxic. And finally, taurine, T-A-U-R-I-N-E. I mentioned the other day it did some good things. Well, even more good things, according to the latest scientific reports, it protects our organs and stimulates the immune systems. Now, we have a part of our immune system called lymphocyte. And the lymphocyte proliferation and the phagocyte activity and macrophages, these are all a part of the natural ability to keep viruses and bacteria from overwhelming us. And taurine stimulates that. Taurine protects your major organs from oxidative stress, protects your heart, protects your kidneys, protects your liver, protects your brain. So make sure that you're using taurine each day. And if you should have a headache, some natural remedies for headache include ginger, which is a traditional Chinese herbal medicine, coriander seeds. Coriander, by the way, has been used in Ayurvedic treatments for sinus-related headaches. And you use it with steam inhalation, meaning just put some coriander seeds or coriander oil in a stop sink, put a towel over your head, run some hot water in there, and let the steam go into your sinus cavities and open up your sinus cavities, which will drain. Wintergreen is also good for that as well. Then you have celery. Celery contains a phytonutrient, a thiolide, which relaxes the sinuses, helps ease pain, is rich in potassium, and the celery seed is extremely good. You can put it in juices. And also, there are vitamins like vitamin B6 helps with that as well, and aromatherapies that you can use by putting a little bit of oil, chamomile oil, a lang lang oil, that's Y-L-A-N-G, that can be put, and lavender, all which can help you. And spinach is good for your eyes, especially for macular degeneration. I suggest you put some spinach in your juice each day. And just remember, the macula is important. Why? Because the macula in the center of the retina of our eyes can easily become damaged when it's unprotected. And the macula can be damaged by looking into the sun or with prolonged bright light exposure. And both the risk of this type of damage, or what is called age-related macular degeneration, is decreased when the macula is protected by its own macula pigment. And when this macula pigment becomes thinner, it lets in a type of light that easily damages the macula. And one of the most damaging is called blue light. And blue light is the prevalent emission among computers and many TVs. It's also a component of the sun. And that's why people spend time in front of a computer more likely to have macular degeneration. And yes, healthy macula maintains a yellow pigment that shields blue light. And this might be compared to the macula having its own pair of sunglasses. The macula pigment is made up of three yellow carotenoids, the lutein, L-U-T-E-I-N, and the zeaxanthin and zeaxanthin, and towards the middle of the macula, you have this concentration. So how do you get that? Well, spinach is one of the best ways of getting it, and that can lower your risk of macular degeneration. I'm Gary Noll. That's our Health and Nutrition segment. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome, all of you. I'm Gary Noll, broadcasting and video streaming from our studios in New York City. And a whole lot of good things happening coming up. This coming Sunday at 9 a.m. in Central Park, 5th Avenue and 90th Street, will be the meeting of our Naturally Living and Running and Walking Club. And we'll have a large group of people there come to take a walk, to jog. We're going to show you how to get into shape. Now, it's not about doing the marathon. Some of you may want to do that, in which case we'll train you to do it. In fact, we'll probably do it with you. But for others who just want to get into shape, we can do that as well. It's a public service. It's free. And we're celebrating our 40th year. And some of the greatest athletes in world history, Louise Nottage, Thelma Wilson, Joan Rowland, Sam Skinner, Sid Howard. Sid's one of the greatest master and senior runners in the world. All started with us at one point, and we're there. We've helped over 30,000 people now do races in the marathon. And every single person that started, finished it. So that's Sunday mornings, 9 a.m., 5th Avenue and 90th Street. Also, I'm going to be hiring some tech people. I'm going to hire a film editor because I'm starting a whole new film project, and my existing editors are packed with work because I've been filming so much, and we're doing three major films right now. But I have another project for our new television show I'm doing. It starts in June. It'll be on every day, so more on that later, but we're looking for someone who's got editing experience. All good paying jobs. You'll call 646-926-5422 for the editing, and also a person who knows social media, and because we're going to be expanding tremendously in the near future. So we're hiring a couple people for that as well. Our concern today and the issue of the day, and that's why I'm not having a guest on, is censorship. I believe that the American public would not be voting for either Trump or Hillary Clinton, and for that matter, not even Bernie Sanders, if they knew the full truth. But unfortunately, when you're used to getting your media through your news through media that are biased, you're going to believe more often than not what the media tells you, especially if you hear the same stories over and over again. Let me give an example, some stories that you're likely to hear touched upon both by the mainstream and alternative media. This is from Salon. Price of calling women crazy. Military women who speak out about sexual assault are being branded with personality disorder and then fired. And so as a result, the vast majority of women, thousands and thousands each year, who are sexually assaulted in the military, who are raped, are given no opportunity. They're just told to shut up and go away. That's a story that most would cover. Here's another one. What's driving deforestation? From the Union for Concerned Scientists. And they point out that just four commodities, beef, soy, palm oil, and wood products, drive the majority of tropical deforestation. And then it goes into deforestation accounts around 10% of total heat-trapping emissions roughly the same as the yearly emissions of 600 million cars. So if you can stop tropical forests from deforesting, you would be saving the world from 600 million cars emissions. So it's a catchy little thing. And if you say eating beef causes it because we're destroying 2.7 million hectares of tropical forests each year to raise cattle, and then you're growing soybeans, and then you're growing palm plantations, and you're losing 270,000 hectares in just three countries alone, these are stories that people can wrap their mind around. At least they're not telling you stop eating beef. They're simply saying what caused the destruction. By the way, if you don't know what a hectare is, and you're talking about hectares, the metric unit scientists generally use for this purpose, the hectare, a hectare is 100 meters by 100 meters, about the size of two football fields. So when you're dealing with 2.5 million hectares of tropical rainforest per year, that's a lot. But it's all on the statistics. So again, it's safe. You can handle that. Here are the stories you're not going to hear covered in the mainstream media and even in some of the alternative media, because if it comes down on the side of hurting the Clintons, the Obamas, the corporate insiders, the technocrats, the bureaucrats, the company associated with them, even in the most trusted alternative medias, they stay away from certain topics. For example, we're going to show you now just part, and I'm only going to pay part of these. The full interviews are up on our website. This is an ex-pharmaceutical sales rep speaking the truth that pharmaceutical companies don't want you to cure your disease. Now, no one in the media is going to play this. We will.
And I am the author of Confessions of an RX Drug Pusher. I'm a 15-year veteran of the pharmaceutical industry, and I left in the year 2000. And what I would like to do today is I would like to dispel the myth that the pharmaceutical industry is in the business of health and healing. Because in fact, what the pharmaceutical industry is in the business of doing is disease maintenance and symptoms management. They are not in the business to cure cancer, to cure Alzheimer's, to cure heart disease, because if they were, they would be in the business of putting themselves out of business. And that in fact doesn't make sense. I don't want people thinking that I am a conspiracy theorist, because in fact, there is no theory behind what I'm telling you. It's all provable. And what I'm saying is provable is that the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want to cure people. You need to understand, specifically when we're talking about psychiatric drugs in particular, that these are drugs that encourage people to remain customers of the pharmaceutical industry. In fact, you will be told if you're given a drug such as an anxiolytic or an antidepressant or an antipsychotic drug that you may be on the drug for the rest of your life. And very frequently, people find that they are on the drugs for a very long period of time, if not permanently, because they're almost impossible to get off of. Some of them can have very serious withdrawal symptoms, and most of them can have extremely serious withdrawal symptoms if they're stopped cold turkey, but some people even experience withdrawal symptoms when they try to titrate or they try to eliminate the drug little by little, day after day. So it's really important to understand the motivation behind all of the current maintenance drugs that are on the market. Even, for example, drugs such as cholesterol-lowering drugs. And what we are in fact finding now is that cholesterol drugs are lowering cholesterol excessively and causing other disease states as a consequence. So you need to be careful about trying to take drugs in order to remain healthy, because you're never
going to see an expose on that. Now we're going to go to Abby Martin on Hillary Clinton. And when you consider that NBC and CNN should just be called the Clinton networks or the liberal democratic establishment networks, you understand why. Here is Abby Martin, one of the most articulate and scholarly people, telling the truth about Hillary Clinton. And this was Hillary's hunger for endless wars, how she's a warmonger. And this was on Ring of Fire's Farron Cousins discussion with her. We'll play just a few minutes of it.
...is making record profits during a time when more patients are dying from their defective products. See the story at drugsafetynews.com.
Sitting here, Masterworks Made Perfect, Abby Martin, wonderful to talk to you. Absolutely, you know, a real pleasure to have you here. And one of the things that you have covered extensively is foreign policy and the dangerous foreign policy of Hillary Clinton, really. And to me, that is one of the most underreported stories of this campaign, is the fact that we have Hillary Clinton, who essentially is the foreign policy of George W. Bush, except I feel like she's a little bit more aggressive than he was. So I want to get your opinion on this, because I find Hillary Clinton, in terms of foreign policy, to be one of the most dangerous people running for president right now.
Absolutely. You know, when when she was a senator, no one really paid attention to her foreign policy, I think. As Secretary of State, it really was laid bare, Farron, and it's just gotten so bad that you really look at every foreign policy endeavor when she was Secretary of State, and it's really her at the forefront pushing the most disastrous criminal policies, really overstepping Obama time and again. I mean, let's just go from the beginning. The drone program, she helped draft the drone program with Obama. Libya, it's called Hillary's War. I mean, untold misery, death, and destruction, where she's laughing about an African leader getting lynched on television, pioneering that disgusting endeavor. And where's the country now? It's a safe haven, for a bastion for ISIS. And you know, when it comes to the Iraq War, she was not only voting for it, she was at the forefront of pushing for it unapologetically around the country, talking about how great it was, how we need to give Bush unequivocal, just an unequivocal way to just go in there and do whatever he wanted. And it's just unbelievable when you look at this. Not only does she vacation with the Kissingers, you know, it's not just that she was getting foreign policy advice from him. She actually vacationed with that war criminal. So it wasn't just him and her giving quid pro quo about, oh, yeah, you did a great job as Secretary of State. They're actually very close friends, which should scare anyone who knows anything about Kissinger. And then, you know, even when you go back to her as First Lady, it's really interesting because she actually pioneered a lot of things as First Lady. You know, she put herself out there, put her opinions out there, but she also pushed Bill Clinton to bomb Yugoslavia. There was a book that came out that talked about how she was praising herself for basically pushing Clinton into bombing, and you know, we know what happened there, just untold war crimes and pretty much the same thing that happened in Libya. So it's a complete disaster on all fronts. Her advisors are actually PNAC founder Robert Kagan, who was, you know, Project for New American Century. He is the peak of that, working with the worst neocons. And it's just amazing to look at every neocon in D.C. hates Trump, loves Hillary, endorses Hillary. What else do you need to know? That's all you need to know.
What's so fascinating about this?
Okay, now, here is something we have not been told in the United States. We've just been told that Puerto Rico has been impossibly bureaucratic and corrupt of how they've run up all this debt, and they should pay the debt back. We haven't been told the truth about the quality of life in Puerto Rico has diminished. The average Puerto Rican had nothing to do with this. And the people behind it are all part of Wall Street. This is a short piece, but you'll hear the most important points in here. Please listen in.
Kill patients while the FDA continues to ignore it. See the story at drugsafetynews.com.
Bernie Sanders recently called for an investigation into the crimes of the banks that helped sink Puerto Rico's economy. But most Americans had absolutely no idea what he was even talking about. But the crisis in Puerto Rico is one that we all need to be paying attention to because Wall Street is trying to do the same thing here in America. And I have securities attorney Peter Muget with me now to tell us what's happening. Peter, I've seen you talk many, many times with PAP about the fact that, you know, Puerto Rico's economy is in absolute shambles right now. And it's not just because of, you know, bad economics. We're looking at very much criminal activity taking place in Puerto Rico in the banking industry that has absolutely decimated an entire country's economy. You've spoken in the past about UBS's involvement, but now we've got more players in the game. We've got Banco Santander. Kind of give us a primer on what this new group has been doing down there.
The storyline in Puerto Rico for the last couple of years has been UBS, and all of the conflicts of interest. And UBS's client base was ridiculously concentrated in Puerto Rican debt and Puerto Rican closed-end funds, which defies every investment tenet, investment principle known to mankind. Now, fast forward to October, FINRA, the regulatory body, came out with a settlement agreement and Santander Securities that was primarily focused on Santander putting its interest ahead of its clients. And let me kind of give you a little bit more detail there. In Puerto Rico, the investment banks, broker-dealers like Santander, have to put their clients' interest first, meaning their investor clients, mom-and-pop clients, who've put life savings into the advice of Santander. Well, Santander, as a bank or as an investment bank, a broker-dealer, has house accounts that they hold securities in. Well, Santander had over $100 million worth of Puerto Rican securities, municipal debt, in late 2012. And they recognized, Santander recognized, the increasing risks, the escalating risk that Puerto Rican debt was a major problem. And this is the end of 2012. And Santander implemented an action plan to rid itself of Puerto Rican debt starting in late 2012. This is before any decline. So it started reducing, selling out its debt. And in the beginning of 2012, it actually stopped taking purchases from its own clients, kind of like a market maker, thereby reducing the liquidity, making it harder for its clients to sell, but at the same time selling its own exposure, oftentimes to its own clients, knowing that there was a huge tsunami coming. So they reduced its debt or its exposure is a better way to put it, in Puerto Rican securities by over $100 million over the course of several months before the decline in September 13, when the Puerto Rican closed-end funds typically went down 30, 40, 50%. By that point, Santander was at zero, but its client-based, mom and pop, Main Street, were left holding the bag.
How many times have we heard that? Why isn't there a major investigation? Why aren't these people who engage in this kind of activity, which is illegal to engage in the wrong type of fiduciary activity, when you work against your fiduciary responsibilities, you should be held accountable. Yet none of this, and all the banks and Wall Street firms that put Puerto Rico into this mess, all that should be forgiven. It's not. Now, I would add, here's a story you will not hear anywhere in the mainstream media. This is Hillary Clinton's neocon resume from Counterpunch from Paul Street. Quote, liberal Democratic Hillary Clinton supporters get defensive when they hear that Mrs. Clinton is favored over Donald Trump by right-wing billionaires like the Koch brothers and by leading arch-imperial foreign policy neoconservatives like Robert Kagan, Max Boot, and Elliot Cohen. But an honest look at Hillary's record should make the support she's getting from such arch-authoritarian elites less than surprising. Hillary's deeply conservative, neoliberal, and pro-big business career in domestic U.S. politics and policy, foreign policy history, showing why it makes perfect sense that top imperial neocons prefer Hillary over the at least outwardly isolationist and anti-interventionist Trump. Madeleine Albright. A first entry on Hillary's neocon foreign policy resume is Madeleine Albright. As First Lady, Hillary successfully lobbied her husband, Bill, to appoint Albright, a right-wing, Russian-hating Czech immigrant dedicated to the provocative, ever-expanding NATO as Secretary of State. In 1997, Albright had already achieved notoriety as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations in May of 1996 by telling CBS's news reporter Leslie Stahl that the death of 500,000 Iraqi children due to U.S.-led economic sanctions was the price worth paying for the advance of U.S. goals in the Middle East. Ms. Albright's, quote, greatest diplomatic success was to obstruct diplomacy that might have prevented the unnecessary and criminal-led NATO bombing of Serbia in the spring and summer of 1999. And even the legendarily blood-soaked U.S. imperial strategist Henry Kissinger, a good friend and backer of Hillary, was taken aback by Albright's determination to concoct an excuse for starting bombing. In Serbia, she was a part of that, Hillary Clinton. In Iraq, she is a part of that. In Honduras, she supported and was behind the coup to oust the democratically elected president of Honduras. In Libya, she was responsible for the destruction of Libya and the killing of Gaddafi and tens of thousands of people, and took it from the number one nation in education, in standard of living, in savings, in equality for women, in democratic committees, number one in all of Africa, to write down it's a total basket case day. That's Hillary Clinton in Syria. She has been responsible for making sure that Syria continued to be destabilized by supporting the jihadist movement and the weapons there. In Russia and Ukraine, she is behind the demonization and isolation of Moscow. And also in Israel, she gave a chilling speech at the annual convention of the super powerful Zionist lobbying group, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, APEC, last March. In her address, Mrs. Clinton condemned Palestinian terrorism without making any reference to the vicious and arch criminal poverty, displacement, apartheid, mass murder, and repression of the racist Israelis imposed on its Palestinian subjects. So those are some. You're not going to see that. Also, ethnic cleansing in Palestine. Home demolitions on the rise, from Richard Hartigan from Counterpunch. Quote, just recently, 28,000, just reported recently, 20,000 Palestinian structures, homes, are destroyed in the West Bank and Gaza, and making homeless and suffering untold numbers of people. Won't hear that anywhere. Also, Hillary's dark drug war legacy in Mexico, from Jesse Franzblah from Foreign Policy and Focus. Quote, Mexico, is no longer a democracy, according to Foreign Policy Magazine. Quote, it is not a functional democracy. It's a repressive and corrupt oligarchy propped up by a blank check from Washington. And who was responsible for that blank check? Hillary Clinton. And how many people have died because of our continuing pro-war on drugs that she supports? 100,000 plus since 2006 alone. And who benefits from this legacy? General Electric, Honeywell, Motorola, Sharp, IBM, and Dell are the major players. What do they all have in common? Well, they support the Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. Those are just some examples. I want to play one more before I open this up to calls. Listen to this ad. Now, before you listen to this ad, keep in mind, this was an ad that was not challenged by scientists, doctors, public health officials, government officials at all. It was not the only ad for this product or any other product like it. There were multiple ads, and this went on for decades. And then remember, the people who now say vaccines are safe and effective, it is no different than them saying vaccines are safe and effective. Different ingredient, same mindset, same bureaucracies, same corporate interests, same profit motive.
You know, if you were to follow a busy doctor as he makes his daily round of calls, you'd find yourself having a mighty busy time keeping up with him. Time out for many men of medicine usually means just long enough to enjoy a cigarette. And because they know what a pleasure it is to smoke a mild, good-tasting cigarette, they're particular about the brand they choose. In a repeated national survey, doctors in all branches of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country were asked, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" Once again, the brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to this repeated nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Why not change to Camels for the next 30 days and see what a difference it makes in your smoking enjoyment? See how Camels agree with your throat. See how mild and good-tasting a cigarette can be.
And that was the entire medical community supporting smoking, advocating women to smoke to soothe their throat and to calm their nerves. That's what they said. Right, and commercial after commercial, and it was not stopped during all those decades. Two whole generations of women and men were exposed to these lies. Now consider today if instead of smoking, it was taking your vaccines. I'm Gary Noll. Censorship in the media, what they allow and what they don't allow on. Talk back right now, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment with your calls. Nice to have you with us. Let's say hello to first caller, Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Gary. This is Bonnie Faulkner. I produce and host the political economy show Guns and Butter that, of course, you carry there on PRN and that has been carried by the Pacifica Network, specifically in Berkeley on KPFA, for the last 15 years. And I've been listening to your show, and you have mentioned censorship in the media, and I thought, you know, for once, I'm going to call in to the Gary Null Show because Guns and Butter has been censored once again on the Pacifica Network. This is a very new development with Pacifica. My show's been on the air for 15 years. It was always controversial. It was never the politics of the station, but I was never censored. I was always proud when I talked to listeners in public, when there was discussion about the station, problems there, why don't they cover 9/11. I always stuck up for the station and said, you know, Guns and Butter has never been censored. But as you'll recall, Gary, starting, and I just realized it's exactly almost 1 year ago today, during a fun drive on KPFA, I was going to have you on live, and we were going to offer some of your films, specifically on the subject of vaccination, Gary. And the new program director called me up because she found out what I was going to do and said I couldn't offer your items and that I couldn't even have you on the air. And now, exactly 1 year later, another fundraise, I was going to have on Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, the nephrologist, and offer as a thank you gift for donations to KPFA her incredible 500-page book, Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History. And I got the message again that it's not going to be allowed on the air. And this was really very shocking, Gary, because I had come to assume that maybe there was a personal vendetta against you, that it was personal. But now this subject of vaccination is up again, and I'm being censored again, this time with Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. So it wasn't just you, Gary. It's this whole subject of vaccination, and it's really quite shocking. And I know that the listeners, I mean, when I go out and raise money for the stations, I always say, you know, donate to Free Speech Radio. And, you know, Gary, I'm not going to be able to say that anymore. This is really very disturbing to me and to many of the listeners.
As well it should be. It's perfectly fine for a program director, a station manager, for an individual producer or host to say, I don't want to touch a topic. That's their right. What they should be cautious about is saying that another producer or host who's done their homework, who is a responsible journalist, cannot touch that same subject. We would immediately decry this if this were in the mainstream media. If a reporter like Seymour Hersh, that used to write for the New York Times, if he were to take a story that he could prove was accurate, that was in the national interest of, and certainly the interest of the readers of the Times, which considered the paper of record, and was told, we cannot allow you to have this on the air. We can't print it. And he would say, but this is factual. It's not a matter of being factual. We just don't allow this. But why? And we would be outraged, and he would be outraged. And in fact, much of the best reporting on important topics that have been taboo by the mainstream media have ended up being published by The Intercept by also Atlantic Monthly, by Harper's, and other, and now the internet, like a Truth Dig and Counterpunch, and some of these outstanding venues. And you think, well, shouldn't the people who care about freedom of speech be standing up and calling out this? And in point of fact, last year when I asked the program director, come on and debate me, bring any scientist, any doctor who's pro-vaccine on and debate me, bring Paul Offit on, let me and Paul debate and let the audience decide. I always treat people with respect in my debates. I don't make it personal. I look at the issues. But I am one of the people who've been doing the scholarship, 10,000 hours of research. I published over 39 articles. My next will be this coming Monday on vaccines and efficacy, showing they do not have any proof of efficacy. So bring your best on. Let the public decide. That is a legitimate way of dealing with it. To summarily say we're free speech radio, oh, unless we don't like your free speech, to me, that harkens back to McCarthyism. And unfortunately, people want to, you know, want to understand one of the reasons that non-commercial radio and a lot of the so-called left radio has lost its credibility is because of A, poor programming, B, poor management, C, because you've got to honor the theme that the station, whatever station it might be, was founded upon. And if not, there's going to be a lot of other places out there where people can get their information, articles, interviews. And so the people are going to have a future, the ones who are open to debate, open to allow their theories and beliefs to be challenged, and then let the public see who has the truth on their side. I'm sorry that you had this experience, Bonnie, but you are not the first, and nor will you be the last. But you should have every right to speak up. And for someone to censor you and to say you can't, I don't know why you're on the station. If someone censored me on a station, I would say this is no longer a place that I can support, because clearly you have your own ideas of what should be on the air, and I'm not a part of it. You know, that's my feelings. Final thought.
Gary, this doesn't bode well for the future. I don't know where this is all going. Now, so far, the program itself hasn't been censored. It's these fund drives. Now, why a fund drive would be different is beyond me. And also, you know, there's a lot of misconception about science, and people like to claim that the science is settled. Well, no science is ever settled. A science is a growing inquiry. It changes all the time. Besides, even, well, Gary, the vaccination issue, the draconian law that's taken effect in California, SB 277, that's now going to force children who go to school to take a heavy, heavy load of vaccines just to attend public or private school. This is a subject that has hit the mainstream media. Robert De Niro was on ABC and NBC about it. And to think that Pacifica is not going to allow a book to be offered as a premium written by a medical doctor about the history of vaccination, it really is outrageous.
It may seem outrageous, but for those of us, I'm in my 40th year, the longest running daily show in the history of Pacifica, in fact, in the history of non-commercial radio, I've seen a lot of things. And it's all about who's in power and how objective and fair-minded that person is, and whether or not they encourage open and honest debate, which I believe is one of the most healthy things you can do in a democracy. And I believe it serves no one's purpose except the person who has some agenda that we're unaware of to keep that information from the public. Let the public decide if they believe or don't believe, want to hear or don't want to hear. If you're talking about something on the air, even during a fund drive, people don't want to hear it, they have a right to turn it off. But if they want to hear it, if you're encouraging them to think, if you're bringing on responsible people, and Dr. Suzanne Humphrey is one of the most responsible board-certified physicians and probably has spent more hours researching this topic than anyone else in the United States, then let them bring on someone to debate her. If they believe that what she is saying is unscientific or the issues have been settled, I can show you an awful lot of people who are board-certified physicians who will take that challenge in a moment to come in and say, none of this is settled. And we need to have an open and honest debate. Otherwise, to say that we're free speech radio, but we're not going to allow all free speech, or we're not going to allow your free speech, then the public very quickly will see the truth of this and will respond accordingly. Bonnie, we're out of time. Thank you very much for calling in. Glad you're listening to the program. And keep in mind that we have to make things public in order to have a discourse, a reasonable, responsible discourse to make change.
Gary, I want to thank you so much for letting me speak up on PRN, and I want to thank you for all your incredible work on the subject of vaccination. So very important, Gary.
Well, the next one's coming in just 3 or 4 days from now, and it's a hard-hitting one, and it'll be posted. Anyone who still believes that vaccines are effective, that there's science supporting them, read it and look at the scientific references and the people I'm quoting, and they will see a completely different perspective. Thank you. I'm Gary Knoll. That was Bonnie Faulkner of Bunt Guns and Butter, and we hope to have all the people listening tomorrow to what is going to be a spectacular hour. You talk about controversial. You talk about hard-hitting. You talk about telling people what they do not know. That's tomorrow at noon, and you can always listen by going to the telephone if you don't have a computer or if you're not computer savvy. Otherwise, you have the computer. Have a nice day, everyone.